So, our next talk is by an MM person. It's usually the people that make our lives difficult. I'm joking. But he's going to talk about new updates in the slub world.
Yes, so, hi everyone. My name is Vlastimil. I work at SUSE in kernel core team for, I think, close to 12 years now. And I, at some point, became a maintainer of the slub allocator and also later co-maintainer of the page allocator. And one of the first things I did after starting maintaining slub is, you might remember, there were three of those initially to select them at the config time, and I removed two of them, and so now there's only slub with the U, SLUB. So what I was looking at what to do next, I had an idea that because I was seeing some subsystems developing own caches on top of slab and not allocating directly for various reasons, I wanted to look into this. Some of those, like the IO layer, do it for performance reasons because they think their own arrays are faster than slab. BPF had another reason, that they wanted to allocate objects in context that isn't supported by slab, such as NMI handler. Maple tree is a new thing in the MM layer for VMA management, and the problem with that is it can start some operation and to rewrite the tree, and now it has to allocate objects, and it cannot fail during that phase and also cannot free memory. So what it did is pre-allocate for the worst case and then free the unused object back, which is not very efficient. So I wanted to do something with the slab allocator to support these use cases so that people don't have to write workarounds around it. And this is also something that wouldn't be possible if we had still three allocators, because these improvements would have to be done in all of them. So settling on just a single allocator helped in this case. And hopefully by doing that, we would also improve the performance of the slab allocator by combining the best of designs of those of the remaining allocator and the slab with A that was deleted. So I need to spend some time explaining how they work. So slab allocator, it's allocating objects that are smaller than a page. So it starts with a page and it slices it up to small objects of the same size, and some of them would be allocated or free at any given moment. And there's some management structure that remembers which of those objects are free and how many of them are there and how many are used. There's already a difference between how the SLAB worked and SLUB works. SLUB has this embedded free list in the objects that are currently freed, which makes it possible to do some atomic operations like allocating or freeing one or multiple objects at once in a single atomic operation. But you need more than one slab because there are many objects, so they are usually linked on some per-numanode structure. There might be multiple lists because we distinguish slabs that are free, that are partially full or fully full. And there will be some spin lock to protect this structure and this list of slab from concurrent modification. And if you only had this, it wouldn't really scale well, because every operation would take the spin lock and multiple CPUs would contend on it. So the allocator always has some kind of per CPU caching layer. And it turns out that this is much simpler to implement for allocating than for freeing, for different reasons. The old slab had basically an array of objects that were allocated from the slab but were put into this array and not yet given out to the consumers. And yeah, when this array got full, it was flushed. When it goes empty, it would be refilled from the slab, from the slabs, and this amortizes the operation on the, with the spin lock. You allocate or free multiple objects at once, and that improves performance. The new slab with U has a different kind of scheme where each CPU has a completely private slab that it can operate on. It turns out that it wasn't enough to have just one, so later there was added a list of more of them that it could use when the main one got depleted. And this allows some nice fast paths where you again do some compare exchange operation that doesn't even have to be atomic because it's on the same CPU, on the local CPU only. But for freeing, it only works if you're freeing object to the same slab that's currently on the same CPU installed as the CPU cache slab, which turns out isn't often the case because you might have allocated the object some time ago and or migrated to different CPU. So the fast path was annotated as likely, but it was actually a lie because it wasn't all that likely to happen because there are many slabs and the chance that this particular slab is on the same CPU is quite low. And the slow part is this more expensive atomic operation. It's not bad, but it's not as good as the fast part. So the idea of sheaves is to combine basically these two approaches. So we would again have a fixed capacity array of objects for caching them on given CPU and also some per NUMA node barn that can cache these sheaves between different CPU. And yeah, by the way, thanks to Matthew Wilcox for inventing this terminology so we didn't have to use the magazine word that with this military connotation. And yeah, so this avoids the issues of the old slab design by not by using the current slab's slow path for freeing remote objects, which turns out it happens only in maybe 5% of the cases. But we have improved the fast path and make it more likely by just putting the object to a per CPU array and not relying on the same slab being on the same CPU. There's also usage of new locking primitive, local trilockT, that makes the locking of these per CPU sheaves less expensive than the usual local lock IRQ safe. So that's again an improvement. And for the Maple Tree use case, that was one of the motivations. We also have an API where the Maple Tree can ask for a sheaf of at least given amount of objects because it can calculate this worst case estimation before starting the critical operation. And in the ideal case, we just give it the sheaf from the CPU. It will only use as many objects as it needs during the critical operation. Those allocations cannot fail. And then ideally, it returns the sheaf back. And we just put it on the CPU, and it has only few less objects than before. So this is much cheaper than pre-allocating and returning a bunch of objects. We can also optimize K-free RCU, which is freeing objects with the RCU grace period, by creating another per CPU sheaf that collects these objects that were subjected to K-free RCU. And only once it's full, we use the RCU machinery to process the whole sheaf and then reuse it again without dealing with the individual objects as was done before. So that should also improve the performance. So that's roughly the design of the sheaves in Slab Allocator. Now the status. In 6.18 the implementation was merged and there were only two opt-in users that we looked at initially, the VMAs and the Maple Tree nodes, because they use the extra features. And luckily the kernel didn't explode and nobody reported some crazy regressions. So that first step was okay, but it's not ideal to stop there because we introduce a new caching layer, but it's opt-in and there's still the old caching layer as a fallback. So that's more code and I like to have less code. And it's also unclear which caches would like qualify to start using this. I guess everyone would want to if it improves performance. So of course the next step is to go all the way and enable this for all the caches and rip out the previous caching layer. So that's what the current series does. That's now in Linux Next, and since merge window starts soon, hopefully nothing will explode and it would go in. So the conversion wasn't anything special. There was just some fun with bootstrapping the thing and preventing recursion because sheaves are allocated by kmalloc, which is slab allocation from specific caches for each object size. And we want the kmalloc caches to use sheaves, so there's a chicken and egg problem. But this is all solvable and it has been, similar problems have been there before and were solved. One question was how to select the sheaf size, because the larger it is, the better it amortizes the operation, but you potentially waste more memory if not nobody allocates the objects that are sitting there. So initially what I tried is to size them in a way that would be similar to how the CPU and per CPU partial caches or slabs were used. So roughly the same amount of objects would be cached as a result, and hopefully the automatic kernel bots would then not report any unexpected changes in performance just because we are caching different amount of things. So it would look like the new code maybe has a problem, but it's just a tuning issue. So I try to be as close to the original as possible, but it's of course possible to tune it later once the thing is in. And then the fun part was removing lots of code of the old implementation. And the per CPU caches and partial slabs. And not all of that was removed because the freeing slow path, it's still there and it's very useful. I also had a lot of fun with debugging a memory leak that came up in benchmarking and even wasn't found by Chris Mason's AI powered review, which is otherwise quite useful, but he didn't find it, but after he fixed the prompts after I reported it, he says now it should be found with high probability. Of course, the question is, what about performance? And I don't have any great answer in forms of graphs because some of the bugs and leaks were fixed quite last minute and I couldn't get fresh numbers in time. So it would be a waste of time to present anything, but initially it was verified that yes, the new fast paths are slightly faster than the old fast paths because the locking is cheaper And yeah, then it's about tuning and heuristics and how any particular workload happens to benefit or not from what it's doing. So overall, I would say that things were slightly faster or same, or in some workloads slightly slower, and there are some regressions reported by the kernel test robot that we were looking into, and it turns out that it wasn't as bad as it initially looked, because it was testing some commits in isolation. But basically the trade-offs here are that the various CPU slab and we allocate from it, all the objects are from the same page, so it's better for TLB overhead, but it's worse for cache performance because some of them might be cold. And with the per CPU sheaves, which are the arrays where you allocate in free in a LIFO order, the objects you most recently free will be the one that you will be allocated next. So if it was cache hot, it's likely it would still be cache hot, so that's better for this. I think the biggest benefit should be the freeing, which should now be hitting the fast but much more often than the original slot. And there are also other aspects why we want to push this to the kernel sooner than later, because as I was saying, one of the motivations was for BPF, but before I envisioned that sheaves would be part of the solution for BPF, so it can allocate in the NMI context. Meanwhile, Alexei, the BPF maintainer, came up with kmalloc, nolloc that can do that without sheaves, and it was actually merged at the same time as sheaves. But there are a number of limitations where it cannot be used in preempt RT, and it turns out that the sheaves, when we replaced the old CPU caching scheme, it actually can remove those limitations because the operations are conceptually simpler. So that's why I hope that it will be merged in the next merge window. So thank you.